are sinners and so unworthy. Yet for us he chose to die. Fill us with his Holy Spirit. Now we stand and testify that his love is everlasting. They will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. Through the darkest night, his light shine. God is good. God is good all the time.
It's chapter number 1, where we have our text tonight, Philippians chapter 1. I'm going to talk about that a little bit. Paul, he didn't always enjoy favorable circumstances, but he was always trying to brag on Jesus. He always wanted Jesus to be magnified in his life, and he wanted other people to get in on that truth and that experience. And as I go through some of these verses, I'm going to say this now because I may not remember to say it later. You know, it's one thing to know these truths. It's quite another thing to experience them. I believe I could probably go to maybe everyone here in this building tonight, and you would agree with me that Jesus Christ is worthy. He is wonderful. He is glorious. And I believe all of us would say that. I don't know if anybody here would deny that with our mouth. But I wonder how much of it we've experienced in our heart. I wonder how much of it is real to us. And I think that Paul was not just saying it. I think he knew about it. He experienced it. As he's writing these words in prison to the Philippian church, his circumstances were awful, earthly speaking. But he's bragging on Jesus. He says, I have one desire. I want Jesus Christ to be magnified in my body. Doesn't matter if I live or die. I just want Jesus to be magnified. And I want that to be my testimony. I'm not quite there. I don't think I'm quite there. I have a long ways to go. But this is my goal. This is my goal. And Paul says in chapter 3, I press toward the mark for the prize. He was always aiming. And if you read chapter 1, you think that maybe Paul had arrived. He's in a pretty good place. And he said, you know, I've still got a ways to go. I've not apprehended. I've still got a ways to go. So thank you, Brother Cody, for the scripture reading. And I thought about Nicholas's prayer request this morning was answered, wasn't it? He prayed and asked God if there was someone here that wasn't saved, needed to be saved, that God would save them. And God hears and answers prayer. Amen. And so that prayer was prayed again tonight. So we're trusting God to answer prayer again tonight. God honors His Word. God honors faith. Amen. Philippians chapter number 1, the text was verse number 20 through verse 26. I want you to skip back with me and let's read from verse number 12 up to verse number 20. I want to give you a little bit of context of what's going on here in Philippians chapter number 1. I want to preach tonight on magnifying Christ. Magnifying Christ. Look, if you will, verse number 12. Paul here writing to the saints at Philippi, he says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me, it wouldn't happen to him. He had been put into prison. He had been put in jail. The things which had happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Isn't it a blessing that Paul could see the positive? Paul could see the blessings of what God was doing, even though he wasn't a part of it. He was sitting in prison. Isn't that a message in and of itself? He said, I want you to understand the things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul says, I realize some are out there doing it for the wrong motive. He says, but you know what? Jesus Christ is being preached. Jesus Christ is being heralded. He's being exalted. He's being magnified. And that's cause for me to rejoice. He says, therein I rejoice. You know what? I'm going to rejoice. Doesn't matter if Nero chops my head off. I'll rejoice until the day that he does it. He says, I'm going to rejoice in that. Verse number 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And let's read verse number 20 one more time. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. Paul, he wanted something. It was an earnest expectation. Something was burning in his heart. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. He said, I don't want this to not go right. I don't want to be ashamed at the end. But that with all boldness, as always, so now also, Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So there's Paul's situation. He's in prison. And it's not jail like we have today. It's not cable TV, extracurricular activities, lifting weights, chilling, working. He's in a dungeon. It's cold, it's dark, it's damp, it's disease-ridden. There's no friends. I think Luke was there to visit, but he's not in a great place. But yet he still wants Christ to be magnified come what may, whether it be by life or by death. So that's the theme tonight, magnifying Jesus Christ. Two questions by way of introduction. What does it mean? What does it mean to magnify Jesus Christ, and why is it important? To magnify Jesus Christ, let me try to explain what it means. So magnify means this. It means to make great or to exalt. When you magnify something, you make it greater. You make it greater than what it already is. Well, we can't really make Jesus any greater than he already is, right? So there's two examples of magnification. You can magnify something by putting it under a microscope, right? And you make something that's small look bigger. You can also magnify something through a telescope. And what the telescope does is you look at the telescope out into space, and what you're doing is you're seeing something really more like it really is. See, when we go outside and we look at the moon, we don't really see it as it is. But through a telescope, I can magnify it. I can see it more for what it really is. And that's the way that we should desire Jesus to be magnified in our life. We should desire to live in such a way, to think in such a way, to speak in such a way that Jesus Christ would be seen for who he really is in our life. That's what it means to magnify Jesus Christ. It means that the way that I live, I'm going to represent Jesus Christ to a watching world for who he really is. In all of his glory, all of his holiness, all of his power, all of his goodness, I want my life to represent that accurately. That's what it means to magnify Jesus Christ. I hope that's your desire. That's Paul's desire. Now you might say, well, so what? What's the big deal? Why do I have to magnify Jesus Christ? Why is it so important? Why can't I just live my life the way that I want to live it? Why is it so important? Well, I believe it is important to magnify Jesus Christ. Why was Paul so earnest about doing that? Why was it important to Paul? But look, if you will, again at verse number, let's look at verse number 21. Verse number 21, he said, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. It was important to Paul. It mattered to Paul that Jesus Christ was exalted. Turn, if you will, just one page. Look at chapter number 3. And let's look at verse 7 and 8. Let's get into the mind of Paul a little bit. Paul made a big deal out of this. He said, when I die, I want to die well. If God chooses to let me live, I want to live well. I just want Jesus Christ to be magnified. Everything else, come, let come what may. As long as Jesus is magnified, I'll be fine. Here's what he said in chapter 3, verse number 7. But what things were gained to me, all the things that were important that he describes in chapter 3, his family, his history, his righteousness, his good works, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Well, that must have bothered him. And do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said, it's garbage. I don't have to explain to you what dung is, right? Paul says, you know what? You know what it really meant to me to lose everything that I might win Christ and magnify Christ and know more about a relationship with Him? It didn't mean, he said it meant dung to me. Everything that this world counts as gain, I counted loss for Jesus Christ. And he still wasn't at a place in his life where he was satisfied. Look here for verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know what was important to Paul? Because Paul seen Jesus Christ as worthy. Now I told you, listen, this is something that's easy to put into words, but it's harder to experience in your life, in your heart. Paul, he really meant it. When he said that I've counted all things but loss, and when he said that it's my earnest expectation that Jesus Christ be magnified in my body by life or by death, he really meant it. I really believe that Jesus Christ, he's worthy. He's worthy to be exalted. He's worth my life. Well, that's all I want to do, Paul said. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Paul thought that Jesus was worthy. That's important for us to believe, not only to know in our mind, but to really believe that Jesus is worthy. Why is it important? Well, think about this. It's important for us to understand that Jesus is worthy to save, right? When you were lost, if you didn't think that Jesus Christ was worthy to save, you wouldn't be saved. If you didn't think He was a worthy Savior, if you didn't think He had the ability to save, you never trusted Him. So it's important for us to realize His worth. He's worthy to save. But not only that, it's important for us to understand and realize He's worthy to serve. You see, some people, you've trusted Jesus to save you, and you believe that He was worthy to save, but I'm going to ask you a question tonight. Is He worthy to serve? Paul believed He was worthy to serve. Paul says, I trusted Him. I believed on Him because I believed He was worthy to save, but not only that, I believe He's worthy to serve. Come what may. I'm going to carry the gospel. I'm going to serve Jesus. I'm going to feed God's people because Jesus is worthy. I wonder, is He worthy of your life tonight? The answer is yes. But the question really is, have you given Him your life? Have you really seen Jesus for who He is? Because I'm going to tell you, He's worthy. And listen, my words are very weak and inadequate. There's no way. You'd be better just to read your Bible than to try to listen to me explain how great, wonderful Jesus is. But I'm going to tell you, He's worthy. But not only is He worthy to save, not only is He worthy to serve, but you know what we're going to have to realize? He's worthy to satisfy. Because some of us, listen, you've been serving God for a long time. You've been saved, you're faithful, you're serving God for a long time. You know what? Sometimes serving God will put you in circumstances that are not favorable. I don't think any of us have experienced the dungeon like Paul. But I'm going to tell you what. After a few Sundays of teaching Sunday school, and it seems like you're doing your best, and maybe your numbers start to go down a little bit, or maybe after a few Saturdays of knocking on doors and they don't respond like they used to, or maybe Sunday after Sunday of preaching and teaching to a group of people, and maybe it seems like for some reason or another, there's just not the response that there used to be. Hey, sometimes the circumstances aren't great. You know what we can say? Jesus is worthy. He still satisfies. Whether you listen to anything I've got to say tonight or not, Jesus satisfies my soul. I hope you'll listen. It's good stuff. It's God's Word. But I've got to get it settled in my heart, like was saying, I believe, this morning. Jesus is enough. He's enough. He satisfies. Whether I'm in a prison, rotting, or whether I'm going to live, Jesus is worthy, and He satisfies. Amen. Now, that's what Paul believed. He really believed it. He didn't just say it. He lived it. I want to live it. I hope you do too. So that's why it's important. That's why it's important. Also this. This is why it's important. Notice what a word that Paul used in verse number 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. Now notice this. That in nothing I shall be ashamed. Paul feared that if he did not live his life to magnify Jesus Christ, that one day he'd be ashamed of it. Right? Now I'm afraid there's coming a day when one day I'm going to be ashamed of some things. I'm going to be ashamed of the way that I spent my time. I'm going to be ashamed of some of the things that I got excited about more than I did Jesus. I'm going to be ashamed that I spent money on this and didn't spend money on Jesus. I'm going to be ashamed that I devoted my energy and my time to this instead of devoting my energy and my time to someone who is actually worthy of it. Paul says, I don't want that to happen to me at the end of my life. I don't want that to happen. Because it will. I'm afraid that one day I'll stand before God and I'll say, oh God, I've wasted so much of my life. I wasted so much of my energy. I wasted so much of it. Because I thought that something that was far, infinitely lesser than God was worthy of my time. Worthy of my money. Worthy of my energy. And I'll be ashamed of those things one day. And I pray that God would do a work in my heart, your heart tonight, that we would see Jesus for who He really is. Now, Paul said this in verse 20. He said, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. So two questions. Number one, how do I magnify Christ in my death? We're going to look at death first. And then number two, how do I magnify Jesus Christ in my life? Number one, let's look at it. How do I magnify Jesus Christ in my death? Isn't that what he said? That's my earnest expectation. Whether it be by life or by death, I want Jesus to look great. I want Jesus to be exalted when I take my last breath. I want Jesus to be honored. Can I tell you, if Jesus doesn't come back, we're all going to die. We're all going to leave this place. And we can either die well or not. Paul says, you know what? I want to die well. I want to magnify Jesus in my death. How do I do that? Well, let's look at this. There's a progression in this word of death from verse number 20 and verse 21. Let's follow this progression. Follow with me if you will. Verse number 20, the desire is that Christ would be magnified in my death. Do you see that? Verse number 21, here's what he said. And to die is gain. Know what Paul said, speaking of death? He said, I want Christ to be magnified in my body. And here's my thoughts on death. Gain. That's not normal. That's not the way that you hear this world speak about death, right? It's often spoken of as loss. And it is loss on our side. And I've heard it say this way, and if you've said this, I'm not picking on you. Maybe I've said it. Our loss, heaven's gain. Which really, our loss, their gain. They're the ones that's gaining. That's what Paul said, isn't it? If you're saved. He said, if Jesus is going to be magnified in my death, then I have to view this death as gain. That's how Jesus is magnified in death. When I can look at death in the face, and I can say, gain. That's how Jesus is magnified in death. Now look at what he said, verse 23. He said, for I am in a strait betwixt two. Now, I don't think any of us are struggling with this decision. If we were given the decision tonight of life or death, we'd probably say, you know, I'd really enjoy living a little bit longer. But Paul says, you know, it doesn't matter to me. Because when I die, man, that's gain. I'm not losing when I die. That's what he thought of Jesus. You see, if we really desire Jesus to be magnified, that's the way that we'll view death. That's the acid test. If I do not view death as ultimately gain, I'm not sure how much I'm interested in knowing about a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, Paul said he had a desire to depart. You see that in verse number 23? For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, and this is what he said, which is far better. Far better. Paul said, you know what, for me, now obviously he's sitting in the dungeon, we're not sitting there tonight, but I believe we could say that if you're saved, death, far better. Far better. Now we struggle with that. But you know what it'd do us some good to think about it more often? Death and what lies afterward. For those of us that are saved, notice the way that he viewed it. Verse number 23, having a desire to depart, and here it is, and to be with Christ. Paul didn't say, oh, I can't wait to get my mansion. I can't wait to walk down that street of gold. I can't wait to see that crystal sea. Man, that just gets me fired up. No, he said, I can't wait to be with Jesus. He said, I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. So how is Christ magnified in my death? He's magnified when I can view death as gain. Now I wonder what life would look like for us if death was viewed as gain. I bet it'd be a lot different. Now I want to give you a little bit of an illustration. I brought a couple things tonight. Bear with me. Now some of you are like, I had a few of you in mind tonight. Stacy, Brother David. I brought a few of my valuables. Now this is worth, listen, I bought this probably 15 years ago. So the last Dallas, if you don't know what this is, Dallas Cowboys, all right? This means a little bit to me, not as much as it used to, but I'd be lying to you tonight if I said, you know what, that stuff don't mean anything to me. Because all you have to do is go ask my wife, and she'd tell you, yeah, it's got to mean something to him, right? So I'm not going to put it on the communion table, but that means a little bit to me. Sports, I enjoy it. Nothing wrong with having it in its place, but that means a little bit to me. This means a little bit more. This is a Thompson Chain Reference Bible that was given to me when I was ordained in the gospel ministry. And I still use it from time to time. That means something to me. Gospel ministry, ministering to people, being involved in God's work, that means something to me. I want to ask my family, will you come here for just a minute? My wife, Jennifer, my kids, Emily, Wyatt, Maddie. This means something to me. Means a lot to me. Right? Those of you that have families, you know what I'm talking about. I have family, I have friends in this church building. I could get you to come up here this morning. You mean something to me. You mean a lot to me. I'd give my life for my children, for my wife. I love them very dearly. Our pastor means the world to me. Amen. I love our pastor. And we could go around this room tonight, and there's a lot of things on this earth, and they're valuable. They're valuable. You know what Paul said? He said, you know what? I look around at what this world offers, and it does offer good things. He said, but you know what? I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Far better. I wonder tonight, now I'm asking you the same things I've had to ask myself. What did he say in verse number 21? He said, for me to live is Christ. Is that what he said? For me to live is Christ. Not for me to live is money. Not for me to live is family. Not for me to live is position. Not for me to live is fame, money. No, he said, for me to live is Christ. That's what I live for. I want Jesus to be magnified. And when I depart, everything that this world has offered me, I'll be able to say, gain. Not loss. Gain. Far better. Thank you so much, honey. You go sit down. How can Jesus be magnified in my death? Is when I can look at everything that I value, no matter how insignificant, right, or how significant it may be, when I can view that and I can look death in the face and I can not only say it, I can really believe it, well, it's going to be gain. That's when Jesus is glorified when we die. That's how I can glorify Jesus in my death. And I hope I can say that. When I'm getting ready to draw my last breath, I hope I'll be able to say, man, things are getting ready to get a lot better. I'm getting ready to see Jesus because that's who I've lived for. That's who I long for. Amen. Number two. Brother David, I'll give that to you Monday. Amen. Number two. How do I magnify Christ in my life? Okay, that's where we are. We're alive. You're here, you're alive. How do I magnify Jesus Christ in my life tonight? Notice this. Let's follow the progression with life. Verse number 20, he said, for me to live is Christ. Now, what does that mean? How do I magnify Christ in my life? For me to live is Christ. Now, follow verse number 22. But if I live in the flesh, Paul says, if I die, that's fine. It's gain. I'll be better off. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. If I live, I'm going to labor and I'm going to have fruit. What's that fruit going to be? Let's keep reading. Go down to verse 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now, what an unselfish thing to say. Paul said, you know what? If I had to choose, I have a desire just to depart and to be with Christ. Far better. But he said, nevertheless, to abide, it's more needful for you. That's a little bit of a hint of what it means to magnify Christ in my life, is when I can live for the benefit of other people. When all of my decisions are not just selfish, when I can say, hey, you know what? I have a desire to do this. I'm in a strait betwixt two. I don't know what to choose, but I do know this. If I decide this, it'll be for the benefit of others. That's what he said, is it not? Look at it again, verse number 24. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. Now here's what Paul said. He said, I believe I'm going to get out of here. He believed God was going to let him live. I don't know if God revealed that to him, but he had confidence that he was going to get out of prison and be able to continue to minister. And what was his motivating fact? Why did he minister? He said this in verse 25, for your furtherance and joy of faith. Paul said, that's why I live. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the most worthy, magnificent God in the universe. And I live so that others could share in that joy. Paul said, I want you to see it like I do. Paul said, I believe Jesus is wonderful and I'll pour my life out. I'll preach the word of God. I'll minister until you receive this joy in the faith. He said, I believe God's going to keep me around for your furtherance and for your joy in faith. And I'm going to ask you tonight, where's your joy? Where's your joy? I talk with people all the time sometimes, and I realize you don't have to all be sitting there with a smile on your face while I'm preaching tonight. But I'm going to tell you this. Look at the countenance on people's face. And it's not just in the world. I'm talking about in the church. Look at some of the countenance on people's face, and you can just tell their joy's gone. Now, I'm not picking on you tonight. It happened to all of us. Your joy's gone. You know why we preach? You know why your Sunday school teachers teach? You know why God calls preachers? It's so that you would be able to see that Jesus Christ is satisfying. He's worthy. He's wonderful. He's good. He's great. They sang it tonight. God's good all the time. Paul said, you know what? God was good when he saved me on the road to Damascus. God was good when I preached on Mars Hill. God was good when they beat me at Philippi and threw me in the jail cell. You know what Paul was doing? Singing praises to God. He said, Silas, let's start singing. God was good when the Philippian jailer came and got saved. And here Paul is in a dungeon. He says, you know what? God's good. He says, I couldn't be more happy. He says, when I get out of here, guess what? I'm going to give my life to the ministry so that you'll see the joy and experience the joy that I have in my heart. I don't know about you, that's convicting. I've never been to a dungeon, but sometimes I can let a bad day at work have a terrible effect on me. It shouldn't be so, right? Jesus is wonderful. I want people to see it in my life. And I want to give my life to others that they may see and experience the things that I have about Jesus. Amen. That's what Paul did. Now look at verse number 26. That you're rejoicing. Paul wanted them to be rejoicing. That your rejoicing may be more abundant. in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again? How do I magnify Christ in my life? When the passion of my life, the desire of my life, is to make other people glad in Jesus Christ. That's how I magnify Jesus Christ in my life. That's how you magnify Jesus in your life. Is when you say, you know what, I'm after one thing in ministry. Now God hadn't called all of us to preach, and God's got many things for all of us. But if you're saved, the desire of your heart ought to be, you know what, I want to share with others the things that I understand about Jesus. You know what you do with things that you're excited about? You share it with other people. Right? You know what these ladies did after they gave birth to their precious babies? You know what they did? They post pictures of them. You know why? They're happy. They're proud. Amen. That brings joy. And when you find something that brings you joy, you want to share it with others. Why haven't you shared Jesus with your neighbor? Why haven't I shared Him with all of my coworkers? I've got a list of my coworkers. I haven't shared Jesus with all of them yet. I'm working on it. But there have been times when I've had opportunities and I didn't. That's why Paul said, in nothing I shall be ashamed. If He is who He says He is, and He is who I say He is, it should bring joy to my heart. And I should be eager to share Him with others. Just like the new mother would be eager to share pictures of the thing that's brought her such joy. If Jesus has brought that much joy into my heart and my life, I should be eager to share Him, just like the new parents showing off their newborn. Look at her. Look at Him. Aren't they beautiful? Shouldn't I be saying that about Jesus? I want to tell you about Jesus. He's wonderful. He saved me from sin. He gave me eternal life. He put me into His sweet family. He's never left me nor forsaken. He's been a friend that'll stick closer than a brother. His grace has been sufficient. Every time that I've needed Him, that I've been weak, that I've been discouraged, oh, He's been right there to encourage me. I wonder how many people were telling about that. Does He not do that? Is He not that? Is He not wonderful? He is. Amen. Paul said, I want Christ to be magnified in my life. So, how do I get to this place? Maybe I'm not there. How do I get there? Well, I don't know if I could really prescribe it, to be honest with you. I'm going to give you just a few things quickly that I think will help. I think if you get in this, it'll help. How do I get to that place that I would see Jesus for who He really is? This is how God has revealed Jesus to us. This book. In a book, right here. You know what you do when you read this book? Well, you learn about Jesus. You read about Him on every page. The Old Testament, you're reading about Jesus. The Gospels, you're reading about Jesus helping people. New Testament, you're reading about what He did on Calvary for us. Revelation, you're reading about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You want to magnify Jesus with your life? Get in this book. Number two, you want to magnify Jesus with your life? Well, you got to spend time with Him in prayer. You want to know about somebody, you got to spend time talking to them. Right? Prayer, Bible reading. And then I would say this. Look, if you will, at verse 29. I think there's something that suffering does that helps us realize more about the value, the worth of Jesus Christ. Notice what he said in verse number 29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." You know what Paul told this church? He said, guess what? Jesus has a gift for you. Not only the gift of faith, He wants to give you a present. Have some suffering. You know why Jesus gives them some suffering sometimes? He makes us weak so that we'll lean on Him. So that we'll be able to see some things about Him that we would have never seen otherwise. Some of you know this from experience. You say, well, you know what? I'm not really magnifying Jesus like I want to with my life. Well, sometimes it's going to take some suffering. Sometimes it might take some hard times for you to really realize and see Him for who He really is. And then, I would just say this. You know what it is? It's really a work of the Holy Spirit of God in our life. You can't work it up. You know, all these, we read the Bible, we understand these things about Jesus Christ, but until the Holy Spirit of God does a work and really just burns it into our soul, it's not going to become reality. And I pray that he'll do that tonight. Now, that's the testimony of Paul. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, that's my earnest expectation and my hope. I don't want to be ashamed. That's his testimony. That's his desire. I ask you tonight in closing, what's your desire? What are you living for? Could you be able to fill in that blank? For me to live is, what would it be for you? Retirement? Family? Well, I live to make my kids happy. That's not a bad thing, but can I tell you, there's something better to live for. There is. There really is something better to live for. You know what would be better is those kids that we love so much, let's tell them about Jesus. Let's tell them, hey, Jesus is worthy of your life. Serve Him. He satisfies. Amen? What are you living for? Marriage, family, money, retirement, fame, position, American dream. What are you living for? Paul says, I want to magnify Jesus. That's what I want to do with my life. Whether it be by life or by death, I want to magnify Jesus. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.